This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wong Shanning. It is 7.05 in the morning, Friday the 2nd of August. And we woke up this morning to the news that President Donald Trump is imposing a 10% tariff on $300 billion worth of goods imported from China. This is beginning the 1st of September. And of course, U.S. markets not surprisingly reacted with some dismay. The Dow Jones fell 1.1%, the S&P 500 fell 0.8%, and the Nasdaq was also down 0.9%.
Asian was asleep when this news was up. But nevertheless, the stock fell yesterday as a private survey showed Chinese factory activity contracted in July. Official data reveals South Korea exports fell as well. So looking at the market, Nikkei up by 0.1%, Hang Seng, Shanghai, Kospi and STI down 0.8, 0.4, 0.3 respectively. And FBM KLCI did a green, up by 0.3%.
It's a defensive market.
Yep, there you go.
So what do these latest tariff measures mean for the global economic outlook? For some thoughts on these developments, joining us on the line is Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago. Good morning, Tim. So on the tariff front, President Trump's announced he's going to impose 10% tariffs on a further $300 billion of Chinese goods. And this sent 10-year bond yields tumbling to their lowest level since 2016. So do you expect yields to fall further?
Well, if the rhetoric continues to be negative, keep in mind they do have until September 1st before these come online. But evidently the talks didn't go so well in China, but so it's caught the market off guard. But what a swing we've had. We didn't have even as much as a 1% move or a 0.5% move in these indexes in like 35 days or so until this week. So, if it continues, it's not going to be good, and there's a reason why bond yields are going down, not to mention what's happening in Europe.
And U.S. July jobs data is due later today, Tim. Last month, numbers painted a rosier picture on the U.S. economy, which may have been contributed to the Fed's more hawkish tone. What are your expectations this month?
Well, I think you're going to see more of the same. And I think the real key to be watching are these wages, because that seems to be the big focus. Look, we're at record unemployment rate levels, and I think you're seeing job growth. With the labor force participation, to expect anything really gangbusters, I think, would be an anomaly. So I think it's going to be moderate report tomorrow. I don't think it's going to upset anybody either way. But I think it'll continue showing the U.S. economy still remains solid. But watch the wage gains.
And Tim, we're kind of halfway through earnings seasons already. And so far, the results have been within analysts' expectations. And earning guidance hasn't been as bad as fears, suggesting that U.S. might not fall into a profit recession. But so what are you doing then about it?
Well, let's see, not so fast about a profit recession yet. Remember, this bar was very low. So they think earnings are going to be something along the lines of 2.5% year over year growth, and they were expecting 3%. But the little thing that I think we need to really keep in mind with this, and you're going to maybe hear even more of it, is that 2% or 2.5% was due to buybacks. So that's still the biggest buyer in the market are companies themselves. So, as far as the earnings go, I'm not so impressed and I'm not so convinced that's going to be the case, but we shall see.
And Tim, heading over to the UK, the PMI numbers for July were rather bleak while the pound hit a 31-month low. But is the worst yet to come, in your view, with a possible no-deal Brexit on the cards?
I think this is going to set up for one of the best plays because the tone is so negative that the UK is a hard Brexit, and a hard Brexit is probably what's coming. I think the pound's going to be a buy on that news. And I think so will the UK equity market. So up until that point, it looks like you're catching a falling knife. But I would say once we get clear, and I think even if it is a no-deal Brexit, I think the pound's a buy.
Thank you so much, Tim. And that was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited out of Chicago, giving us his thoughts on the UK's PMI data as well as earnings season and more broadly the most recent news out of the US. Because it was an interesting piece of news to wake up to this morning that overnight it seems we're going to be having more tariffs on $300 billion worth of Chinese goods. And it's potentially not going to stay at 10% because Trump didn't rule out the possibility of those tariffs increasing. increasing. It was from a tweet, and Trump said that China has not lived up to a promise that President Xi Jinping made in Osaka to buy U.S. agricultural goods and to halt illegal exports of fentanyl. So he later said that tariffs could well go well beyond 25%.
So this is what's happened in Shanghai. There will be another meeting in Washington, and as Tim has said, I mean, there's a lot to look forward to. It's been a very it's been a very interesting week indeed, and we've got one more month to see the development of this. Is till September to see where this trade negotiation will go.
Yeah, it's kind of really taken markets by surprise because the meeting in Shanghai just happened, right? And there wasn't really any like bad news coming out of the meeting. And woe and behold, we wake up to this, to President Trump announcing these tariffs. And these tariffs, right, this time will really hit consumers because nearly all of China's exports to the U.S. would be covered by these levies. So a draft list of targets published by the Trump administration earlier this year suggests consumer and technology goods. So including most of Apple's major products, such as the iPhone, along with toys, footwear and clothing. And the final list hasn't even yet been released.
So I find this quite ironic, right? Considering that the Fed cut rates this week to mitigate the impact of slowing global growth. And why is global growth slowing? Because of these trade tensions. So really, it seems like the Fed's biggest enemy here is their own president himself. Because Trump's hike in tariffs is only going to worsen all of this uncertainty for the world economy. And it could mean, though, that more rate cuts might be on the horizon.
Yeah, because immediately after he announced the tariffs, right, there was a press conference and I listened to it. And Trump basically said he doesn't really care about markets. Mm. He says that this is all going to be short term and this is good for America. He also justifies the tariffs and says that, look, so far, whatever I've done hasn't seen any price increase in the goods of Americans buy. So it shouldn't be a problem. After all, inflation is flat. So he, in his mind, these tariffs aren't going to be detrimental to the U.S. economy at all.
Okay, but I don't know how you guys feel about this, but in Trump's defense, isn't it that he said that China didn't didn't sort of fulfill their end of the bargain by not buying enough of their farm goods that actually has been agreed on?
I think without hearing from China, I don't know whether we'll actually be able to get the full picture on whether or not China has been increasing its purchase of agricultural goods. But at the end of the day, you have to wonder whether this is part of Trump's broader overall strategy, right?
Whether because it's measured if this or not.
Is, yeah, because if this this does impact the U.S. consumers, then obviously it's going to be detrimental for him. But then, if it only impacts U.S. consumers for a while and it manages to convince China to give him concessions, then at the end of the day, it could be a short-term loss for a long-term gain, right?
Yeah, because that's his focus, isn't it? Is the agricultural sector, because that's where his primary voting base coming from.
But actually, the tariffs are bad for the U.S. agriculture sector. If anyone's paying the price of it, it's U.S. farmers, because we've seen a reduction in consumption of soybeans. As the tariffs were imposed, China started buying from other markets like South America.
That's
and,
right.
You know,
and Brazil as well.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what goes on in Mr. Trump's mind. But we shall see whether he imposes more tariffs or really come 1st of September, whether it is implemented at all.
That's the triple T, they call it now, the Trump's terrible tweets. That's interesting.
Indeed. Now, after taking a look as well across the pond, the Bank of England has said that it's less confident than usual about the outlook for the UK economy because of Brexit. In its August inflation report, the bank cut its central forecast for growth this year and the next. Its predicted output would rise just 1.3% in both 2019 and 2020, even if they were to cut interest rates. So the BOE previously forecasted in May that output would grow by 1.5% in 2019 and 1.6% in 2020.
So this is the highest chance of a contraction it has probably seen since the immediate aftermath of the Brexit referendum in 2016. So recently, Boris Johnson has just been appointed as the Prime Minister. And at the same time, he has also reshuffled the cabinet. A lot of them has been disposed. And I mean, not disposed, but...
sacked.
I'm sorry. Been sacked. And a lot
thrown
of them,
in the bin.
If we look at the lineup, a lot of them are Brexit hardliners. So it's looking very likely that Brexit, no deal Brexit is going to happen. And and I think it's the reality is really sinking in hard.
Well, you just have to look at the pound to know that it's a reality, right? I mean, look at it against the US dollar. It's 121. Guys, 5 years ago, it was 168. Okay, yeah. And if the pound is an indication of what the market expects in terms of a Brexit, well, we know markets are unhappy.
Yeah, in Europe as well, they're not going to be, I mean, this is definitely going to be bad for them too,
actually,
right?
For UK, yes. Right, 46% of all their exports go to the EU. So just imagine the impact if it's a no-deal Brexit. Mm.
And speaking of Europe, the EU finance minister also set to vote via email on Europe's candidate for the post of managing director of the IMF. And this is to succeed outgoing chief Christine Lagarde, who's heading to the European Central Bank on the 12th of September. The group has so far failed to broker a deal amongst themselves on who they're going to nominate for the post. So traditionally, Europe has nominated the head of the IMF while the US chooses one of its nationals to lead the World Bank. So I think there's a lot more uncertainty there on that front as well. Europe has failed to unite on a candidate, so they've also raised expectations that alternative candidates, including a current BOE governor, Mark Carney, could have a chance.
Yeah, so I mean, what's interesting is how they're going to vote. Is it going to be via email?
Well, it's cheap, right? Rather than have to fly everybody in.
I would have thought that at this, you know, sort of conferences, this day and age. Oh, well, no, I'm all for email, don't get me wrong. Is this that you think that all this organization, they have this very strict bureaucracy, they have this formal meetings that they will vote, they will carry placards or something, but it's just via email.
I'm just imagining now that it's a Google poll somewhere.
Oh, Google poll. Yeah, why not, right?
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.